بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. This evening, بإذن الله تعالى, this is our sixth session. A reading from التوكل وحقيقة التوكل على الله by الشيخ العلامة صالح بن فوزان بن عبد الله آل فلزان فوزان حفظه الله. May Allah protect and preserve him. Tonight, we intend to read from what is originally the final section of the book, and what follows after it are questions and answers, but yani, this is the final section of the main part of the book, which is the thamarat of at-tawakkul, the fruits of at-tawakkul. Before we look at those fruits of tawakkul, we'll go back and look at some of the issues that we discussed last week from the questionnaire study guide number 7. The first question being, explain how Surah An-Nisa, the fourth surah, 102nd ayat, has been used by the author as a proof in the obligation of utilizing the means. Yani the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa khudhu hidrakum, inna allaha a'adda lil-kafirina azaban muhina. Yani, take your precautions from the enemies. Indeed, Allah has prepared for the disbelievers a humiliating punishment. How has the author used this ayat as a proof in the obligation, concerning the obligation of utilizing the means? Naam, fadl.
For the believers not to be negligent in preparing for war against the disbeliever, but disbelievers, and to use the means in every effort to extort themselves against the disbelievers.
Okay, in this ayat, Allah is ordering, is giving the command to take precautions, to prepare oneself, to take precautions from the enemies on the battlefield or other than that. But how is this, in what way, from what angle is this a proof of the obligation of utilizing the means? Now,
the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is able to protect them.
No.
But he still commands them to take precautions. And that command makes it, the origin of that is an obligation.
And the fact that Allah is able to protect them, and yet he still commands them to take precautions. And to protect themselves, to utilize the means. He commands them to utilize the means of protection, even though Allah is able to protect them. And also, the author, yani Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan, hafizahullah, mentions that this ayah is originally revealed, directed, a command is directed to the Prophet ﷺ and his companions. And they are the best of people who put their trust in Allah. They were definitely putting their trust in Allah. And yet Allah said, that's not enough. Rather, also you have to utilize the means. So this is an indication, and a clear indication, that it's not sufficient just to put your trust in Allah. They were the best of people who put their trust in Allah. And yet Allah commanded them to utilize the means, yani, as a sabab, yani, a means of protection, after first and foremost putting their trust in Allah. Question number 2, discuss the error of the one who said, we will not be defeated today due to small numbers. Yani, we will not be overcome today due to, yani, us not having enough people, because we have plenty. Now, what is the error of this statement?
They put their trust in the means alone.
They put their trust in the means. Meaning, which means?
Their numbers.
Their large numbers. Their large numbers. And their equipment, their weapon, and so on. They put their trust in their large numbers, yani, instead of putting their trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani, they're being pleased and being amazed and looking at their large numbers as being the actual cause of their success. Since they have such large numbers, they cannot be overcome. Yani, if we had a small number, we might be overcome because of our small numbers, not today. So, yani, this is an indication that they, instead of putting their trust in Allah, they put their trust in the numbers, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala scolded them by allowing the enemies in the beginning of the battle to overcome them and to inflict, yani, losses upon them. And this is an indication, a clear indication, that no one should put their trust in the means alone, but rather they must, yani, also put their trust in Allah first and foremost, and then utilize the means. Yani, it's necessary to bring them both together. The third question, memorize the words of the Quran which refer to this statement and this occasion from Surah At-Tawbah, 9th Surah, 25th Ayah. The words of the Quran which refer to this statement and this occasion. Naam.
لقد نصركم الله في مواطن كثيرة ويوم حنين إذ أعجبتكم كثرتكم فلم تغن عنكم شيئا وضاقت عليكم الأرض بما رحبت ثم وليتم مدبرين.
And in this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying with yani certainty, definiteness, surely, لقد نصركم الله في مواطن كثيرة ويوم حنين. Yani that Allah has given success and victory to them on many occasions, including Yawm al-Hunayn, yani after they had, the enemies had inflicted losses upon them. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, yani mentioning here is أَعْجَبَتْهُمْ كَثْرَتُكُمْ, yani when you were pleased, amazed with your numbers, due to which Allah allowed them to inflict losses on them. Allah says, فَلَمْ تُغْنِي عَنْكُمْ شَيْئًا, yani these numbers, large numbers, didn't benefit you in any way whatsoever. But yet, that's what you depended upon. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making us, yani in this ayah, He's making us to understand the mistake that they made. It was that they were, yani pleased and content and satisfied and amazed with their large numbers instead of, yani putting their trust in Allah, yani first and foremost. The fourth question, memorize the magnificent words of tawakkul of the Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam when he was thrown into the fire, the wali. Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakil. Yani meaning, anybody?
Allah is sufficient.
Allah the Most High is sufficient. Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakil. And He's the best disposer of our affairs. He's the best one to dispose of our affairs, to have charge of our affairs, to entrust our affairs to care for us. Naam. The fifth question, memorize or mention the occasion when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said these same words as reported in the hadith of Ibn Abbas. What was the occasion when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned these same words? But try.
It was the munafiqeen says basically trying to encourage the believers to have fear of what was like the threat that was.
إن الناس قد جمعوا لكم فخشوهم.
Right.
And they said to them, the people have gathered together.
Right.
Yani armies, large numbers of people, they have come together. So fear them. Yeah. And instead, yani it increased them in iman. And they said, Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakil. Give three examples mentioned by the author of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam utilizing means. He gave three examples. Give me one of them.
He would mobilize the army.
Mobilizing armies. Naam. Another.
Wearing armor.
He was wearing armor. He would wear body armor. Naam. Another.
He took provisions for his journey.
Took provisions for a journey. Naam. And another he mentioned?
He would make weapons
and that he would prepare, yani the weapons and equipment for war. Naam. He would utilize different types of means that were necessary for the occasion. The last question discussed the significance of these examples of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam utilizing means. What is the significance of these examples that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mobilized armies, that he yani wore body armor, that he gathered and prepared equipment, war equipment, weapons of war? What's the significance of the Prophet utilizing these means? Now,
although he is the one who trusted in Allah the most, he was following Allah's command to take advantage of the means that are available.
He was the one who trusted in Allah the most, and Allah was well able to protect him, yet he utilized the means because Allah commanded that. Allah commanded that. Allah had no need, yani, of any of this to protect His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam or the believers. But this is the way of Allah, that tawakkul ala Allah in reality requires, necessitates that a person have their heart attached to Allah as the one who yani does whatever He wills, and nothing happens except what He wills. Yet at the same time He has commanded us to utilize the means that are proven in the Sharia to have some benefit or that are proven in the natural order of the creation from what Allah has decreed in the creation, yani to have some benefit. So these are some of the points that we discussed last week, and tonight, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. This one, shall I look at this time? Tonight, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we're going to look at the last section that the author discusses before the question and answers, and that is ثمرات التوكل على الله تعالى. ثمرات, yani the fruits of putting one's trust in Allah the Most High, depending upon Allah and relying upon Allah the Most High. What are the fruits? What are the benefits? What actually, how does a person benefit from putting their trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So the Shaykh, he says, وَأَمَّا, and this is, I mean, this topic is really of the utmost importance, because this is from the things that the human being looks for. What benefit will I get out of this? Yani you want me to go and do something that might be quite difficult. Is there going to be some fruit? Yani some benefit? Something that's going to come back to me, to motivate me, to inspire me to do this? Here the Shaykh mentions, after having made crystal clear that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us with this, and whatever He has commanded us, that's sufficient for the believer. But if Allah has commanded us with something, then we're going to do it, because He commanded us. Yet, the Shaykh is coming, he's mentioning here, some of the benefits that come to the believer if they actually fulfill this command, if they comply with Allah's command, and really attach their heart to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring about any good that they are seeking, or to repulse, to repel, to hold back any harm that they fear. That one should put their trust in Allah alone, and their heart should be attached totally to Allah first and foremost, and in the end. So he says, أَمَّا ثَمَرَاتِ التَّوَكُّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهِيَ كَثِيرًا. As far as the fruits of التوكل على الله, depending and relying upon Allah, trusting in Allah, having faith in Allah, then there are many. These fruits are many. أَعْظَمُهَا أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَكْفِيهِ مَا حَمَّهُ. The greatest of them is that Allah, in simple language, will suffice that person. Whatever yani they are worried about, whatever they are concerned about, any concerns that they have, ma ahammu, whatever concerns you, whatever worries you, and you are in need of something, you fear something, you desire something, whatever your concerns are, Allah will suffice you. Allah suffices, yani the one who puts their trust in Him. This is the greatest of the benefits or the fruits of at-tawakkul. Qala Allah Ta'ala, then He mentions the proof of this, is the saying of Allah the Most High in the 65th surah, third ayah, وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَصْبُهُ. So whoever, and this is a shart, a condition, whoever depends upon Allah, relies upon Allah, puts their trust in Allah, then Allah will be حَصْبُهُ. Yani Allah will be his, yani the one who will suffice him. Allah will suffice him, will take care of his needs, his concerns, his worries. Allah will attend to it. Then the Shaykh, he says, he mentions three things here together that are very, very, very important. He said, فَمَنْ فَوَّدَ أَمْرَهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ. The one who entrusts his affair to Allah, he turns it over to Allah, he surrenders it to Allah. فَمَنْ فَوَّدَ أَمْرَهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَاَعْتَمَدَ عَلَى اللَّهِ وَحْدَهُ. And that person depends upon Allah alone. They turn the affair over to Allah, they surrender to Allah. Allah, I'm giving this to you. And then they depend upon Him alone. وَاَعْتَقِدَ أَنَّهُ لَا يَجْلِبْ الْخَيْرِ وَلَا يَدْفَعْ الدَّرْ إِلَّا اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. And then they believe, they have firm conviction, yani their اعتقاد, after they turn it over to Allah, and they depend upon Allah alone, they believe that there is no one that can bring any good to them or repel any harm from them except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani there's i'tiqad. A person has to believe in their heart. They have to have that conviction, firm conviction in their heart. Because saying that you entrust it to Allah and claiming that you depend upon Allah requires that you have that in your heart, that you really believe that no one can bring you any good, no one can remove any harm or repulse or hold back any harm from you except Allah alone. Whatever it is that we want of good, it's only Allah that can give it to you. And it's only Allah that can protect you from any harm. And the tremendous, magnificent saying of the Prophet ﷺ that should be endeared to our hearts, a person has to reflect upon over and over and over again. There's tremendous benefit in saying these words that have been related to us from our Prophet ﷺ, such as Allahumma la mani'a lima atait, wa la mu'tiya lima manat, wa la yanfa'u dhal jaddi minkal jadd. Allahumma la mani'a lima atait. There's no one and nothing that can hold back that which you give. It's in the hands of Allah. And there's no one who can give that which Allah withholds. No one, nothing. And no one will benefit who has anything, yani of power, influence, or authority, or position, or station, or status. No one will benefit from that against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what Allah decides and what Allah decrees. So no matter what you have knowledge, you have power, you have wealth, whatever, it will not benefit you against what Allah decides, what Allah has decreed. And a person has to know this, that the whole affair is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And these words, when they are reflected upon, when the meaning of them is understood, and a person recites them on their tongue, believing that in their heart, this is what develops and nurtures tawakkul ala Allah. Because when you keep saying that in your mind, you realize that this is a fact. Allahumma la mani'a, there's absolutely no one who can withhold that which you give. So if Allah wants to give you something, wallahi, nobody can stop it. Not the president, the king, or anybody else. They can't stop it. And if Allah withholds something, decreed something is not for you, nobody can give it to you. Not your mother who loves you. Not your brother. Not your best friend. Not anyone. Not the king or the president, because he has power. Nobody can give it to you if Allah withholds it. So this is something, these words, these kinds of words are of great importance for us. Are of the greatest importance to us. And one of those sayings, and I'm getting a little sidetracked here, but I just feel like it's necessary to mention this saying just to give another example. Allahumma la sahla illa ma ja'altahu sahla. Oh Allah, there's absolutely nothing easy except what you made easy. Except what you made easy. So whatever Allah didn't make easy, the rest of it is all difficult. وَأَنْتَ تَجْعَلُ الْحَزْنَ إِذَا شِدْتَ سَهْلًا. And you are the one who can make difficult things easy if you will. And when a person keeps saying that, that has to affect your heart. Because that's a reality. That if it's in the forefront of your mind, it will enable you to put your trust in Allah alone. And you won't have a need to look to anyone or anywhere else. Because Allah is the only one. And who can help us. The Shaykh, so he says here, yani the ayah, whoever puts their trust in Allah, Allah will be sufficient for him. Allah will suffice him. Allah will be the one who will suffice him for in his affairs. So whoever entrusts their affair to Allah, turns over their affair to Allah, surrenders their affair to Allah, and then they actually depend upon and rely upon Allah alone, and they believe that no one can bring good to them, no one can repulse harm from them, except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. Then indeed Allah will be sufficient for him. The person who does that, and who turns the affair to Allah, and then doesn't depend on anyone else, like knows that Allah is sufficient, and they believe that He's the only one who can bring good or repulse harm, then Allah will be sufficient for them. And he said, فَهُوَ كَافِهِ. Allah will be the one who will suffice him. يَكْفِهِ مِنْ جَمِيعِ الْمَحَاذِرِ. Then Allah will suffice him from all of those things that a person might fear from, that a person should take precautions from. Everything that a person will worry about or fear from, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will suffice him from that. And then he says, لِأَنَّ الْجَزَى مِنْ جِنْسَ الْعَمَلِ. And this is a qaida that we mentioned, that the scholars are always mentioning, and it's of those tremendous principles that it's important to understand, because it's extremely helpful, that the reason why Allah will suffice the person who puts their trust in Him alone, the reason why Allah will take care of all their affairs, is because al-jaza min jins al-amal. Because the reward for a person's deed is going to be of the same type as the deed that they done. The reward will be like the deed. Yani if a person puts their trust in Allah totally, Allah will suffice them totally. The reward for the action is like the action. If a person is weak in their tawakkul on Allah, then the sufficiency of Allah will be weakened. The sufficiency of Allah for them taking care of it will be weakened, because their tawakkul on Allah is weakened. Al-jaza, the reward, min jins al-amal, is going to be just like the amal. Good, person does good, hal jaza al-ihsan illa al-ihsan. Person does good, what do you expect? Yani, accept good from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Naam. So here the point is what? That if we put our trust in Allah totally, and if a person strives and struggles and asks Allah to help them to put their trust in Him alone, the more we're able to do that by the permission of Allah and help of Allah, and we would never be successful in anything except with the help of Allah, the more we try to do that and we actually actualize it, realize it, then the more Allah will suffice us. Al-jaza' min jins al-amal. فَلَمَّا تَوَكَّلَ عَلَى اللَّهِ حَقَّ تَوَكُّلِهِ جَازَاهُ بِأَنَّهُ كَانَ حَصْبُهُ حَصْبُهُ الَّذِي يَتَوَلَّى شُؤُونَهُ. Yani, so when the person has indeed put their trust in Allah, حَقَّ تَوَكُّلِهِ, yani in the way that Allah deserves it, yani putting their trust in Allah the way Allah is deserving of being trust, yani unlike a human being who you know is a trustworthy person, you've been on the battlefield with them, you've been in the streets with them, you know that this person is not going to turn their back. So you might, yani, trust that person, that if he's standing with you, at least you got him, there's two of y'all. That person deserves that you have some respect for what you have seen from them. But Allah is more deserving. Allah is more deserving that we have complete, total, unwavering dependence upon Him. Because the human being is created weak. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is perfect. So, and this, وَلِلَّهِ مَثِلُ الْعَالَى. And of course we don't make any example or comparison between Allah and anything in the creation. But the point is what? That if a person trusted in a human being, or in an animal, or in anything, an instrument, or a tool, or medicine, because it had been effective in the past, Allah has more right. Absolute right. Because all of those things can fail you. The medicine, the instrument, the tool, the human being, everybody can fail you. But Allah will never fail you. This is the promise of Allah. If you put your trust totally in Him, then He will take care of you. So this is yani azim. Yani this is the greatest of the fruits of tawakkul, that Allah will suffice the person who puts their trust in Him. To the extent that you trust in Him, to that extent, Allah will take care of you. Or as He wills. The Shaykh says, so whoever has put their trust in Allah in the way that he deserves, حَقَّ تَوَكُّلِهِ, then Allah rewards him بِأَنَّهُ كَانَ حَصْبُهُ. Allah rewards him by what? That Allah himself will be his hasb. Yani Allah will be yani the one who will suffice him. Allah will be the one who will take charge of his affairs. Allah the Most High will take care of his affairs, and He will not entrust him or leave him to anyone else. Allah will not leave him to somebody else. Allah Himself will take care of him. So this is the greatest fruit of at-tawakkul. Then the Shaykh mentions two ayahs from the Quran, from Surah Al-Anfal, the 64th ayah and the 62nd ayah. The first of them he said, yani Surah Al-Anfal, ayah 64, يَا يُهَا النَّبِي حَصْبُكَ اللَّهُ. O Prophet, Allah is sufficient for you. حَصْبُكَ اللَّهُ. Allah is your hasb. Allah is the one who will suffice you. And in the other ayah he said, وَإِنْ يُرِيدُ أَيَخْدَعُوكَ فَإِنَّ حَصْبَكَ اللَّهِ. That if they want to deceive you, to trick you, to do some harm to you, then indeed Allah is sufficient for you. هُوَ الَّذِي أَيَّدَكَ بِنَصْرِهِ وَبِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Yani it is Allah who has supported and helped and aided you, yani بِنَصْرِهِ, with help from Himself and with the mu'mineen, the believers. Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala supported, yani gave victory to the Prophet ﷺ by offering his own help, the help from Allah, and he also gave him his companions, the believers, to support and aid him. Then the Shaykh, he says, فَالْحَاصِلْ. So, yani the end result of all of this, yani the summary of all of this, what is that? أَنَّ أَعْظَمْ ثَمَرَاتِ التَّوَكُّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَكُونُ حَصْبًا أي كَافِيًا لِلْمُتَوَكِّلْ عَلَيْهِ. Yani, that the greatest of the fruits of tawakkul on Allah is that Allah will be the one who will suffice, the one who puts their trust in Him. Allah will suffice him. And then he mentions some examples of the prophets and messengers who were, the best of humanity, the prophets and messengers, the best of humanity. And the best of those who, yani the greatest in iman, the greatest in taqwa, the greatest in tawakkul, in everything, the prophets and messengers. So he gives examples here of the prophets, some of the prophets, alayhi wasalam, and how they, yani the confidence that they had because of their dependence upon Allah, because they knew if they put their trust in Allah, is going to take care of them. So the first of them he mentions, وَلِهَذَا ذَكَرَ اللَّهُ عَنْ نَبِيِّهِ نُوحِ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ. So here Allah mentions concerning his prophet Nuh عليه السلام, أَنَّهُ قَالَ لِقَوْمِهِ, that he said to his people, إِنْ كَانَ كَبُرَ عَلَيْكُمْ مَقَامِ وَتَذْكِرِ بِآيَاتِ اللَّهِ فَعَلَى اللَّهِ تَوَكَّلْتُ فَأَجْمِعُوا أَمْرَكُمْ وَشُرَكَاءَكُمْ ثُمَّ لَا يَكُنْ أَمْرُكُمْ عَلَيْكُمْ غُمَّةً ثُمَّ قُضُوا إِلَيَّ وَلَا تُنْظِرُونَ. And in Nuh, he said to his people that in kana kabr alaykum, if it is difficult for you, if it's a burden on you, my remaining amongst you and my reminding you of the signs of Allah, if this is a problem for you, you got a problem with that, he said, then I put my trust in Allah. Make firm resolve to do whatever you want to do, you and your partners, your associates, your false gods. Make a firm plan to do whatever you want to do. And then, لا يكون أمركم عليكم غمة. يعني, don't let your affair, what you have decided, be something مستور, as some of the scholars of tafsir said. يعني, hidden. But openly, come out and do what you want to do. يعني, openly, show what you want to do. Make your plan, and come out with it, and then execute your plan against me, and don't wait, don't hesitate, don't give me any respite. Do what you got to do. Why? Because I put my trust in Allah. Do whatever you got to do. Come on with it. Don't mean nothing. I'm not concerned about you and your plots and your plans.
I'm sorry. He said that to his people.
He said that to his people. That if me remaining amongst you and reminding you of the ayat of Allah is a problem for you, go make a plan against me and do what you got to do. And don't hesitate. Come on with it. That's how he said to them. I mean, what kind of tawakkul is that? That's a person who knows that my heart is completely attached to reliance upon Allah. I'm not worrying about it at all. SubhanAllah. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us.
Ameen.
And to put our trust in Him alone. Ameen. Then he mentions concerning his prophet Hud, alayhi salam, أَنِّي بَرِيءٌ مِمَّا تُشْرِكُونَ, that I am free. I have no yani part in that which you are associating with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala min dunihi. Yani the things that you associate with Allah, yani from the things that they worship. فَقِيدُونِي جَمِيعًا ثُمَّ لَا تُنْظِرُونَ. So make your plan against me, all of you together, and then don't wait, don't hesitate. Don't give me any respite. Do what you gotta do. And then he said, إِنِّي تَوَكَّلْتُ عَلَى اللَّهِ Rabbi wa Rabbikum. I have put my trust in Allah, my Rabb and your Rabb, and the Rabb of everything and everyone. مَا مِن دَابَةٍ إِلَّا هُوَ آخِذٌ بِنَاصِيَتِهَا. And there is no creature on the earth, no living being, except that Allah has control of his forelock. Yani Allah has taken hold of his forelock, meaning Allah has absolute control. إِنَّ رَبِّي عَلَى صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ, that my Rabb is upon the Sirat al-Mustaqim, yani the way of truth and justice. This Surah Hud, yani ayats 54, 55, and 56. Then he said concerning the Prophet Shu'ayb alayhi salam, وَمَا تَوْفِيقِي إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلْتُ وَإِلَيْهِ أُنِيبُ, that I have no tawfiq, no success, no ability to do anything of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, except yani it comes from Allah. My success is from Allah. It is upon Him. عَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلْتُ, it is upon Him and Him alone that I have put my trust. وَإِلَيْهِ أُنِيبُ, and I turn to Him in repentance. Surah Hud, 11th Surah, 88th Ayah. And then he mentions finally from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from Surah Al-A'raf, 7th Surah, 195-198. Concerning the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasallam, he said, قُلْ أُدْعُوا شُرَكَاءَكُمْ, yani he ordered the Prophet, say to them, call upon your shuraka, yani those who you associated with Allah, those that you worship besides Allah. ثُمَّ قِيدُونِي فَلَا تُنْظِرُونَ, and then make your plot against me and don't hesitate, don't wait. Yani, don't give me any respite. Do what you gotta do. إِنَّ وَلِيَ اللَّهَ الَّذِي نَزَلَ الْكِتَابِ, indeed my wali, my protector, my supporter, my helper, is Allah, the one who revealed, who sent down the book. وَهُوَ يَتَوَلَّ الصَّالِحِينَ, and He is the one who يعني takes charge of, يعني protects and preserves and supports and helps the righteous people. وَالَّذِينَ تَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِهِ, and those who you call upon besides Allah, يعني the false gods that they call upon besides Allah, لَا يَسْتَطِعُونَ نَصْرَكُمْ وَلَا أَنفُسَهُمْ يَنصُرُونَ. They are not able to help يعني you, nor are they able to even help their own selves. So the Shaykh says, فَأَخْبَرَ سُبْحَانَهُ عَنْ هَوْلَى رُسُولُ الْكِرَامِ أَنَّهُمْ تَحَدُّوا أَقْوَامَهُمْ وَآلِهَتَهُمْ أَنْ تَدُرَّهُمْ بِشَيْءٍ. يعني that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed us about these noble messengers, that they challenged their people and their false gods to يعني harm them in any way whatsoever. Do whatever you think you can do. They challenge them. In the modern language, they say, bring it on. Mm-hmm. Or at least in the old days, they used to say, bring it on. Man, I don't know about modern language. Maybe the young people got something else. What do they say today, Adam? You from the younger generation.
Same thing.
So it's the same thing. A little different words, the same meaning, right?
Do what you
got to
do.
Do what you got to do, right? So, yani, they challenge their people. If you have a problem with what I'm calling to, then do what you got to do. لأنهم متوكلون على الله عز وجل. And that is, the reason why they took this position is because they were those who really put their trust in Allah alone. وَمَنْ تَوَكَّلَ عَلَى اللَّهِ كَفَاهُ. And whoever puts their trust in Allah, Allah will suffice them. Allah will take care of them. Allah will protect and preserve them. This is the first fruit from the fruits of Iman. The second one, the Shaykh says, وَمِنْ ثَمَرَاتِ التَّوَكُّلِ استجلاب محبة الله. يعني that from the fruits of a tawakkul is that a person will attain, they will obtain the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Ali Imran, 3rd Surah, 159th ayah, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُتَوَكِّلِينَ. That indeed, definitely, certainly, surely, Allah loves those who put their trust in Him. Certainly, surely. This is the speech of Allah. If Allah didn't say certainly and surely, if He just said He loves the mutawakkilin, that's it. Allah says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ, indeed Allah loves those who put their trust in Him. So whoever puts their trust in Allah, حَقِيقَةُ التَّوَكُّلُ, yani real dependence upon Allah. Real dependence upon Allah. Not lip service. Not in their mind imagining something good about themselves that's not really there. Sometimes we delude ourselves that we are really those people, and we may not be. May Allah make us of those people who really put their trust in Allah. May Allah help us to develop that tawakkul ala Allah, to nourish it. May He strengthen it in us. Because whoever puts their trust in Allah, حَقَّ تَوَكُّلِهِ, in the way that, it with real tawakkul, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّهُ, then indeed Allah will love him. And if Allah loves him, سَعِدَ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ, then that person will be happy, will be successful, will be fortunate in this world and in the next life. And they will be fortunate, they will be happy, they will be successful in this world. And they will also be successful in the next life. بِأَنْ يَكُونُ مِنْ أَحْبَابِ اللَّهِ وَمِنْ أَوْلِيَاهِ. Yani, due to what? Because they are of those who are beloved by Allah. And they are of the awliya of Allah. And the people of Iman and Taqwa. If Allah loves somebody, then yani, they're going to be successful. They're going to be fortunate both in this world and in the next life because they are of the beloved of Allah. The next fruit that the Shaykh mentions, وَمِنْ ثَمَرَاتِ التَّوَكُّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ جَلَّ وَعَلَىٰ أَنَّ الْإِنسَانِ يُقْدِمُ أَوْ يَقْدَمُ عَلَىٰ فِعْلْ مَا يَنْفَعُ وَلَا يُحَابْ وَلَا يَخَافْ إِلَّا مِنَ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَىٰ. Yani, the third fruit that the Shaykh mentions from the fruits of tawakkul is that a person will hasten to take on something, yani, without any hesitancy, boldly, courageously undertake to do that which is beneficial. Yani, from the fruits of tawakkul is that the person who really puts their trust in Allah, they will not hesitate to go forward, to step forward, to proceed, to do that which is of benefit. يُقْدَمُ عَلَىٰ فِعْلِ مَا يَنْفَىٰ. Once they know something is beneficial, nothing is going to stop them. They will not be in awe. They will not be in fear. They will not be afraid of anything except Allah. They're going to just go forward and do it. Because why? They're not going to fear what the people are going to say, or what the people are going to do, or what the enemies are going to do, or how somebody's going to respond. They only fear Allah. فَالْمُجَاهِدُونَ Then he gives an example. فَالْمُجَاهِدُونَ الَّذِينَ يَخُوضُونَ الْمَعَارِكَ مَا الْكُفَّارِ إِنَّمَا فَعَلُوا هَذَا لِأَنَّهُمْ مُتَوَكِّلُونَ عَلَى اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى So those who fought in jihad, who dived into the battle, yani who rushed into the battles with the disbelievers, they only did this fearlessly, boldly, courageously, because they were those who put their trust in Allah. Because of their trust in Allah, their dependence on Allah, their confidence in Allah, they didn't hesitate to go out into the battlefield. They had no second thought. Like in one of the hadith is mentioned about a man, and I didn't read this recently, I hope I remember it well, Allahu musta'an, yani who was on the battlefield, and there was some discussion about, yani if he died in the battlefield, he would enter paradise. And he had some dates that he was getting ready to eat, he just threw them down. Yani that would delay me. That's how the people who put their trust in Allah, they believe in the promise of Allah. And they don't hesitate to do that which is of benefit. What's more beneficial than the promise of Jannah? So this, because of this tawakkul ala Allah, it actually caused them to gain or to yani attain shaja'ah, courage and quwwah, strength. And the difficult things and the hardships became easy in front of them. Things that are difficult became easy for them. Hardships became easy for them. And they enjoyed, they found pleasure in dying in the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And therefore they achieved ash-shahada fi sabilihi. And as a result of this, yani they earned the station of a martyr in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani because of their tawakkul ala Allah, they became courageous and they became strong. And they found that which is difficult easy for them. Hardships were lightened for them. And they found pleasure in going out in the way of Allah and giving their life in the way of Allah. And therefore, yani were able to achieve the shahada. The shaykh, he says, at the end of this particular fruit, he says, كُلُّ هَذَا بِسَبَبِي التَّوَكُّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ All of this is due to their dependence upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani they're going forward without any hesitance, without any fear, and doing that which they know is of benefit. Their lack of fear, their courage and their strength, and their enjoying sacrificing their life in the way of Allah, all of this is due to what? Yani this, their ability to be in that kind of state of mind is due to their total, absolute dependence on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the last fruit that the shaykh mentions, وَمِن ثَمَرَاتِ التَّوَكُّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ جَلَّ وَعَلَى أَنَّهُ يُنَشِّطُ عَلَى الطَّلَبِ الرِّزْقِ وَعَلَى تَحْصِيلَ الْعِلْمِ وَعَلَى كُلِّ الْأُمُورِ النَّافِيَةِ Yani the last fruit that he mentions is that the tawakkul ala Allah, the person who puts their trust in Allah, this actually yani inspires them, it strengthens them, it energizes them, it activates them. Yani in seeking provisions, yani in terms of their worldly life, the things in their dunya. And he mentioned this as an example, talab al-rizq. And this represents talab al-rizq, yani seeking provisions represents the things in the worldly life. Yani they are motivated, they are activated, they are energized in seeking the worldly things that are permissible in Islam. وَعَلَى تَحْصِيلَ الْعِلْمِ And also in achieving, acquiring knowledge. And the acquiring of knowledge perhaps represents the things of their religious life. Yani the provisions, the things in their worldly life, and seeking knowledge in order to worship Allah. Because how can a person worship Allah except with knowledge? So seeking knowledge is an obligation on every Muslim. Because a person cannot worship Allah without knowledge. So this, yani tawakkul ala Allah, activates and motivates and inspires a person to seek the beneficial things of their worldly life and that which is beneficial in their religious life and all affairs that are beneficial. For indeed, the one who puts their trust in Allah will be persistent and pursue and will be encouraged in his seeking of beneficial affairs. Whatever is of benefit, they will be motivated, they will be activated, they will be encouraged, and they will pursue it. And why will they go after it with energy? لِأَنَّهُ يَعْلَمْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى مَعَ الْمُتَوَكِّلِينَ وَأَنَّهُ يَنْصُرُ الْمُتَوَكِّلِينَ فيمضي في جميع أموره النافية في الدين والدنيا ولا يتكاسل أو يكون مع الخاملين. So this fruit, يعني the Shaykh is saying that the person who has tawakkal ala Allah will be energized, يعني will be inspired, will be strengthened, will be motivated, will be activated in seeking their, يعني the beneficial things in their worldly affairs and in their religious affairs, in seeking their sustenance and seeking their knowledge. And in every beneficial affair, why? Because they will know, the person who puts their trust in Allah, is because they know that Allah is with those who put their trust in Him. They know, يَعْلَمْ أَنَّ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى مَعَ الْمُتَوَكِّلِينَ. So if a person knows with certainty that Allah is with those who put their trust in Him, then they are motivated to go out. They don't have any hesitancy, if I waste my time doing this, will it bring about any benefit? And if you seek that which is good, Allah is going to help you, if you put your trust in Him. They know that Allah will support those who put their trust in Him. Therefore, they are persistent in pursuing all beneficial affairs in their deen and in their dunya. And tawakkul ala Allah, we said previously, the Shaykh said previously, what? That this is required in your worldly affairs and in your religious affairs. Not just in your religious affairs. Yani not just in your worship of Allah, asking, depending upon Allah to help you to worship Him. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُودُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. Yani we intend to worship you alone. And we also seek help from you alone in order to worship you. So in everything that a person wants to do, if a person wants to get up in the night and pray tahajjud, they must put their trust in Allah to help them to get up. And Allah will help them. If a person wants to fast on Mondays and Thursdays, not to mention Ramadan and the obligatory fast, they have to put their trust in Allah and Allah will help them. But not only in our religious affairs, but especially in our religious affairs, because that's the most important thing, right? But likewise in our worldly affairs. In everything that is of benefit, the person will put their trust in Allah and they will not be lazy and they will not be sluggish. They will not be indifferent to seeking the things of benefit. And the Prophet ﷺ said in another hadith that's authentic, احرص على ما ينفعك واستعن بالله ولا تعجز. احرص على ما ينفعك. If there's something of benefit, go after it. Be diligent, eager in going after it. But seek help from Allah. Put your trust in Allah. Ask Allah's help. Al-isti'ana billah. And then, yani if a person goes after something and they ask Allah's help, then they shouldn't feel helpless, hopeless, that they can't do it. Because Allah is the one who, yani, has power over everything. The Shaykh, he says, concerning this final fruit, that from the fruits of a tawakkul is that a person will be activated, will be motivated, will be energized, will be strengthened in, yani, seeking the beneficial things in their worldly life and their religious life and everything that is of benefit, because they know Allah will help and support the people who put their trust in Him. He said, and it is for this reason that the Sahaba, radiallahu anhum ajma'in, were the most courageous and brave of all people, لِتَحْقِيقِهِمْ التَّوَقُّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. And that is because they, yani, achieved, they actualized, they realized this tawakkul ala Allah. Yani they actually lived it. They actually lived it. It wasn't theory or philosophy, but they actualized it. Due to that, they were the bravest of the people, to the extent that they conquered the east and the west, the lands in the east and the lands in the west. And they conquered the lands, yani physically conquered the lands with their jihad. And they conquered the hearts of the people with their da'wah to Allah, with their call to Allah. And this is because they were those who put their trust in Allah and they depended completely upon Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says concerning them in Surah Al-Ma'idah, 5th Surah, 54th Ayah, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَنْ يَرْتَدَّ مِنْكُمْ عَنْ دِينِهِ فَسَوْفَ يَعْتِي اللَّهِ بِكَوْمٍ يُحِبُّهُمْ وَيُحِبُّونَ أَذِلَّةٍ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَعِزَّةٍ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ يُجَاهِدُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَلَا يَخَافُونَ لَوْمَةَ لَائِمٍ ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ يُؤْتِيهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَاللَّهُ وَاسِعٌ عَلِيمٌ. Yani, all you who believe, whoever turns back from you, from his deen, anyone from amongst you who turns back from his deen, apostates from Islam, then Allah will soon bring a people whom they will love Him and He will love them. And they will be humble with the believers. And they will be stern with the disbelievers. And they will fight in the way of Allah. And they will not fear, they will not be concerned about anyone who might blame them for whatever they do for the sake of Allah. They will not be concerned about it. And this is the fadl of Allah, the favor of Allah that He gives to whomever He wills. And Allah is wasi' and alim. And Allah is yani vast and all-knowing. And here I just want to note that in this ayah, and some of the scholars have discussed this ayah in great detail, has a number of tremendous benefits, but at least yani on the surface we can say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned some of the characteristics of the people that He will bring to replace those people who turn back. If anybody turns back from Islam, Allah will replace them with people who will be better than them. From amongst their characteristics is that they will love Allah. They will really love Allah. And Allah will love them. And they will be humble with the believers and stern with the disbelievers. This is extremely important. That from the characteristics of these people that Allah will bring, they will be humble with the believers. Even though those believers are strangers or foreigners or whatever, they're humble with the believers. As far as the disbelievers, they're stern with the disbelievers. In the place where sternness is necessary. Sometimes we find that the people got it twisted. They're humble with the disbelievers and they're harsh with the believers. These are the characteristics that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions concerning them. He said they fight in the way of Allah and they are not concerned. They don't fear what the people who might blame them may blame them for in terms of what they're doing for the sake of Allah. Then the shaykh, he says, let me take a look at this time. Then the shaykh, he says, so they don't fear the blame of those who blame, yani fillahi, yani blame them for doing something for the sake of Allah. And that is because they are mu'tamiduna ala Allah. Yani they are depending upon Allah. Kullu al-i'timad, yani completely, totally depending upon Allah. Wa yufawiduna umurahum ilayhi kulla at-tafweed. And they are turning their affair over, surrendering their affair, all of their affairs, completely to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يَلْتَفِتُونَ إِلَى غَيْرِهِ. And they do not yani even turn to other than Allah. They don't look at or consider anyone other than Allah. They depend upon Allah, turn their affair over to Allah, and they don't consider anything else or anyone else. رَضِيَ النَّاسِ أَوْ سَخِتُوا. Even if the people are pleased with what they're doing, or the people are displeased, as long as what they are doing is for the pleasure of Allah. مَدَامُوا فِي رِضَى اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. As long as they are doing what's pleasing to Allah, they don't care if the people are pleased or displeased. And it came in the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, reported by Ibn Hibban in his Sahih, and the Tirmidhi in his Sunan. And both of these narrations are from Aisha radiallahu anha, where the Prophet ﷺ is reported to have said, "Man iltamasa رِضَى اللَّهِ بِسَخْرَةِ النَّاسِ." And here I did look at the translation of this hadith in the book. It's completely twisted. And you can just cross it out. It doesn't make any sense how they translated this hadith at all. Any case, مَنْ اُلْتَمَسَ رِضَى اللَّهِ بِسَخَةِ النَّاسِ. Whoever seeks, searches for the pleasure of Allah, tries to attain the pleasure of Allah, بِسَخَةِ النَّاسِ, at the expense of the displeasure of the people. Yani even though the people will be displeased with me, it doesn't matter. Because what you're seeking? The pleasure of Allah. Whoever seeks the pleasure of Allah at the expense of displeasing the people. رضي الله عنه وأرضى عنه الناس. Then Allah will be pleased with that person. And Allah will make the people pleased with them. And the opposite, وَمَنْ اِلْتَمَسَ رِضَى النَّاسِ بِسَخَّةِ اللَّهِ. And whoever seeks to earn the pleasure of the people, to please the people at the expense of the displeasure of Allah. سَخِطَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَأَسْخَطَ عَلَيْهِ النَّاسِ. Then Allah will be displeased with that person and He will cause the people also to be displeased with him. And then the shaykh, he closes yani this point, or this yani the discussion, the whole discussion, he ends it with saying, فالاعتماد على الله والتوكل على الله والتفويض الأمور إلى الله عز وجل أساس التوحيد وأساس العمل وأساس الخير ولهذا جعله شرطا في الإيمان قال تعالى وعلى الله فتوكلوا إن كنتم مؤمنين. سورة المائدة في سورة 23rd آية. The Shaykh says, so الاعتماد على الله, depending upon Allah, والتوكل على الله, and relying upon Allah, reliance upon Allah, وتفويض الأمور إلى الله and turning over, surrendering your affairs to Allah, this is the foundation of Tawheed. Yani Tawheed is based upon this. It is so essential that the Shaykh is describing it as the foundation of Tawheed. Dependence upon Allah. Relying upon Allah. Surrendering your affairs to Allah. And he said it is also the foundation of Al-Amal. Yani it is the foundation, the source from which actions take place. And it enables a person, it activates, energizes a person to act, to do the things that we need to be doing, that are pleasing to Allah. And it is also the foundation of khair. Yani it is the source, the foundation, the basis of all good. And for this reason, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it as a condition for iman. A condition for the validity of a person's iman is that they put their trust in Allah. And he said in Surah Al-Ma'idah, so upon Allah, then put your trust. If you are indeed believers. And this is the end of what the Shaykh said. And then there's just a small portion here. And in the time that remains, what time is the then? 26. Okay. So there's a small portion here. In the time that remains, the Shaykh, he says, at the end of this discussion about Tawakkul ala Allah, he says, بَقِيَتْ مَسْأَلَةٌ تَتَعَلَّقْ بِهَذَا الْبَابِ. So there's an issue that's connected to this particular subject. An issue, a side issue that's related to this. And that is the issue of التوكيل. توكيل. يعني فموكل يوكل توكيل. And توكيل, he says, he'll explain what it is. يعني this issue of توكيل. So the question is, if a person yani delegates or gives over something, entrusts somebody, appoints somebody to deal with some affair of theirs, such as buying some goods for them, or renting some place for them, or representing them in a dispute. If a person appoints someone to represent them in purchasing, in renting, in yani representing them like a lawyer in a dispute in court, هل معنى ذلك أنه أَنَّكَ تَوَكَّلْتَ عَلَى غَيْرِ اللَّهِ. Does this mean that you have put your trust in other than Allah? Yani is this a form of التَوَكُّلْ عَلَى غَيْرِ اللَّهِ? Appointing somebody to represent you, to purchase, to go out and buy for you, or to represent you in business or whatever? He said, لَا لَيْسَ الْأَمْرُ كَذَلِكَ. And I think there's a mistake here in the printing, because it doesn't actually make sense what's here. Probably the word that they use here is the wrong word. It says الْوَكَالَ غَيْرَ التَّوْكِيلِ. And as far as I understand, al-wakala and tawkil is the same. Probably it should say, at-tawakkul ghayr al-tawkil. And that is apparent from what he says after that, because then he explains what is tawakkul and what is tawkil. So it seems that it's a printing mistake. So the Shaykh says, no. If you appoint somebody to represent you in these matters, such as this, then this is not, yani, a violation of tawakkul. Because tawakkul is for Allah alone. Because why? Because at-tawakkul, putting your trust in Allah alone, is different than appointing somebody to represent you in worldly affairs. التوكل هو الاعتماد والتفويض وهذا لا يكون إلا لله سبحانه وتعالى. يعني so توكل, it is dependence and reliance and entrusting one's affairs, and this is something that is for Allah alone. This is not for anyone other than Allah. أما التوكيل, as far as التوكيل, فهو إنابة للغير في تحصيل مطلب من المطالب المباحة التي يقدر على تحصيلها. يعني but توكيل, what is it? It is يعني إنابة, appointing somebody to substitute for you, to represent you, يعني somebody else to represent you in obtaining something that is desired, that is permissible, which that person has the ability to achieve, to do. فهذا سبب من الأسباب. This is merely a means. This is an example of utilizing the means. That you appoint somebody to get something done. That's a means of getting something done. Somebody, you send somebody to do something for you, to represent you as an agent or whatever. This is merely what comes under the title of utilizing the means. Especially if you have to go to court, you need an attorney. Because it's a bunch of tricks, right? It's all deception. So the Shaykh says, this is a means, a sabab min al-asbab. So if you appoint somebody, a representative, an agent, then this is from the perspective of Bab as-Sabab. This is just merely utilizing the means. But putting your trust in Allah, but you put your trust in Allah to achieve the maqsood. Yani putting your trust in Allah to actually make, to get, to obtain, to achieve what you're trying to do. You put your trust in Allah for that, this is يعني من باب العبادة. This is worship. This is the worship, the tawakkul, that is only for Allah alone. Therefore, يعني a person does not depend upon, rely upon, put their trust in the wakil, the representative, but rather, they put their trust in Allah. The representative is just a means that they're using to accomplish the goal. But the trust is in Allah alone. So, at-tawkil, appointing somebody else to represent you in some affairs, does not violate aqidah. This is not yani tawakkul ala ghayrillah. This is not depending upon other than Allah. Wa innama huwa ta'awun ala al-matalib. This is merely just cooperation. Cooperating yani in achieving something that is desired or requested or required. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran in Surah Al-Ma'idah, 5th Surah, 2nd Ayat, wa ta'awunu ala al-birri wa taqwa. Wa la ta'awunu ala al-ithmi wa al-udwan. So cooperate, yani help and support one another in righteousness and piety, and do not cooperate with one another in sin and transgression. So cooperating with one another, appointing somebody to help you in some worldly affair, yani making somebody an agent or representative, this is from the perspective of tawkil, yani from the perspective of utilizing the means. This is not yani an act of worship that violates aqidah. So al-wakil, the Shaykh closes with this, الوكيل إنما هو معين للموكل. يعني he is just one who aids or assists, helps the one who has appointed him. قائم مقامه. He is somebody just standing in his place. يعني like a substitute. Right? And this is only a سبب من الأسباب. This is just merely utilizing the means. So just as a person does some action as a means of achieving a goal, like a person takes some medication to achieve the goal of yani healing them, curing some sickness. That's a means. The medication has no power to heal. Healing is from Allah alone. But you have to utilize the means. Allah told us, utilize the means. Now, so just as a person does some action as a means to achieve a goal, so likewise, appointing someone to represent you is also a means to achieve a goal. And this is not, this doesn't come under the yani issue of التوكل على غير الله, yani depending upon, having tawakkul on other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Shaykh closes with this supplication. He said, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us and you all from those who put their trust in Allah in the way that Allah deserves to be yani entrusted. To make us of those who يعملون بالأسباب النافية, that those who act upon, who utilize the beneficial means. ويتوكلون على ربهم, and those who put their trust in their Rabb. ولا يعتمدون على غيره, and they do not depend upon or rely upon other than Allah. ولا يفوضون أمورهم إلى سواه, and they do not surrender or turn over their affairs to anyone other than Allah. وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمْ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدْ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ. And we ask that the salat and salam be upon our Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, and upon his family and his companions, all of them. So this is the end of what the Shaykh presented concerning this topic. There are questions and answers, inshallah, that we will address in the coming session.
Eight minutes, mashallah.
Okay, so there is actually some questions at the end that are attached to the English translation of this book. Inshallah, I'll try to get the Arabic text of those questions so that those who want to follow in Arabic can also follow us with that. But we'll do that in the next session, inshallah, the question and answers. And we'll also take some question and answers from Shaykh Abdul Razak, the son of Shaykh Abdul Musin Al-Abad Al-Badr. Hafizahum Allah, may Allah protect and preserve both of them. And what we want to do now in the few remaining minutes, inshallah, we want to read what I intended to read last week. I couldn't find these this book, Kitab al-Tawheed, the explanation by Sheikh Saleh Fawzan. I wanted to mention what he said concerning the hadith of Ibn Abbas that we mentioned last week. Yani that this was Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakil with the saying of Ibrahim alayhi salam and the saying of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam when they had conflict and yani difficulty with their people. The Shaykh, Sheikh Saleh Fawzan, says in his explanation of Kitab al-Tawheed, when that hadith of Ibn Abbas is mentioned, he says, Hasbunallah, the meaning of it is, kafina, fala natawakkalu illa alayhi. That Hasbunallah, when a person says that, the meaning of it, is they are saying Allah is sufficient for us. And therefore, we will not depend upon anyone other than Him. And He's sufficient, we don't need to depend on anyone other than Him. He said the general meaning of this narration of Ibn Abbas, that this saying, Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakeel, was the saying of Ibrahim when he was thrown into the fire, and it was the saying of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam when it was said to him that the people, yani the disbelievers have gathered against you, so fear them, and this increased them in iman, increased in iman, and they said, yani he and his companion said, Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakeel. He said the general meaning of this narration from Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhumah is that أن هذه الكلمة العظيمة حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل قالها خليلان إبراهيم ومحمد عليه الصلاة والسلام في موقفين حرجين لقيهما من قومهما. يعني that this great magnificent statement حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل was said by two خليل of Allah, يعني two close friends of Allah, that is Ibrahim and the Prophet Muhammad عليه الصلاة والسلام, in two difficult situations that they met their people with, yani hardship from their people. And that is when Ibrahim alayhi salam called his people to the worship of Allah alone, and they refused, and therefore he destroyed their idols. And they wanted to support their idols who couldn't defend their own selves. They were worshipping gods, they couldn't protect themselves. They wanted to support their idols, so they gathered firewood, they kindled it, and they built a tremendous fire and they threw him into the middle of it. And he said this word, يَعْنِ حَسْبُنَ اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the fire, be cool and safe upon Ibrahim. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said the same word when the Quraysh sent to him word threatening him that they're going to gather an army and they're going to come to him and his companions to annihilate them. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on that occasion said this tremendous, magnificent word, Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakil. Then the Shaykh says, the occasion of this narration, how it relates to Munasibat al-Athar lil-Bab, how it relates to this chapter. The chapter, Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah, he mentioned the title of this chapter, the ayah from Surah Ma'idah, 5th Surah, 23rd ayah, وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَتَوَكَّلُوا إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ. Yani, so therefore, on Allah put your trust, if indeed you are believers. That's the chapter. He said, what is the relationship of this narration to this chapter? He said, أَنَّ فِيهِ أَنَّ هَذِي الْكَلِمَةِ الَّتِي هِيَ كَلِمَةُ التَّفْوِيدِ وَالْإِعْتِمَادِ عَلَى اللَّهِ. Yani, that this word, this statement, which is the statement of tafweed and i'timad, it is a statement of what? Of the one who turns his affair over to Allah, surrenders his affair to Allah, and then he depends upon Allah alone. He said, this statement, هِيَ الْكَلِمَةَ الَّتِي تُقَالْ عِنْدَ الْكُرُوبِ وَالشَّدَائِدِ. It is a statement that is said when a person is in hardship and difficulty. وَهِيَ تَدُلُّ عَلَى التَّوَكُّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فِي دَفَعَ الْكَيْدِ الْأَعْدَاءِ. And this statement, حَسْبُنَ اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ, it indicates, it points to a person putting their trust in Allah to, yani, repulse the plots of their enemies. Yani Ibrahim being thrown into the fire and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam responding to what? The gathering of the armies to destroy them. So this statement is a statement of yani at-tafweed wal-i'timad. What do you benefit from this hadith? He mentioned a few things. I'll just mention yani two or three of them because of the importance of them. He said, number one, we benefit from this narration, fadlu hadhihi al-kalima, the excellence, the superiority of this statement. And that it is incumbent that it be said at a time of difficulty and hardship. And the second thing, the excellence of this statement. The second thing he said, أَنَّ التَّوَكُّلْ مِنْ أَعْظَمَ الْأَسْبَابِ فِي حُصُولَ الْخَيْرِ وَدَفَعَ الشَّرِ. That التوكل, dependence upon Allah, is from the greatest of the means of achieving good or repulsing harm. From the greatest of means of achieving good and repulsing harm is dependence upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fi dunya wal akhirah, in this world and in the next life. And then he said also, yani anna al-iman yazidu wa yanqus, as also in this narration is indication that iman increases and decreases. How is that? How is this an indication that iman increases and decreases in this narration? Yani when they told him the armies have gathered against you, the Prophet and the companion said what? First of all, he said what? Zadahum imanan. It increased them in iman. They said, hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel. So this is an indication that iman increases. And anything that increases also has the potential to decrease. And finally he said, annama yakrahuhu al-insan qad yakun khayrun lahu. And it's something that a person hates, detests. It may be good for them. It may be good for them. And you dislike a thing and it is good for you. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran. Okay, this is the end of what we wanted to mention from this. And there remains this same narration, Shaykh Abdul Razak mentions in his book, in his presentation of Tawakkul. I want to read what he said concerning this narration, but I don't want to rush through it. And there's some very important statements that he mentioned here. And from amongst those statements is in a statement that we are in need of. And what are some of the means, or what is one of the most important ways for a person to nourish, to strengthen their tawakkul ala Allah? Yani, which one of us is content with our state right now, our relationship with Allah? Therefore, we are in need. So how do we become more dependent upon Allah, more reliant upon Allah, make our heart to be more attached to Allah and Allah alone? So the Shaykh, he talks about that and a few other things in his explanation of this same narration, the narration of Abdul ibn Abbas. Inshallah, we're going to look at that next week, and then we're going to do the questions and answers, both from Shaykh Salih Fawzan and from Shaykh Abdul Razak. حفظهم الله. May Allah protect and preserve both of them. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. Yeah, one question, but so that I don't forget, I have to mention that for whoever didn't know, our brother Omar, mashallah, he came from New York. Allahu Akbar. And I have to say this because I said it to brothers who were here earlier. May Allah protect and preserve him. And when a Muslim travels to another city, to another state, to visit a Muslim, he said he came here to visit us. And we have to recognize that. May Allah accept it from him. Amen. And reward him tremendously. And he's deserving of that. And Allah knows best. Now, what's your question, brother?